Today in Genesis, sometimes we can miss the trees for the forest, because in Genesis we have the fall today. We hear the story of the fall, where Adam and Eve decided that they would no longer serve God. And if we get bogged down in the details, we can get some weird ideas, like the idea that women are evil because Eve was the one who picked the fruit. But really, where was Adam? Standing right next to her and doing what? Well, not his job of protecting his wife. So there's multiple sins involved here. So we don't get bogged down looking at the trees instead of what's really going on there. The point of today's first reading is that humanity fell to sin because in their pride they decided they knew better than God. Instead of fleeing from that temptation of the serpent, they decided to engage it. And as they continued listening to the sweet whisperings of the serpent, they started to rationalize sin. They started to fall prey to these ideas. And so instead of relying on a steadfast faith in God who had given them so much, he gave them everything. There was nothing that they had need of. Instead of relying on him, they decided to turn away and to sin. And when they chose to turn away from God and when they chose to sin, they decided they wanted the serpent to rule over their lives and not their Father who loves them. They decided to follow their bellies and their pride instead of their Heavenly Father. And so this action condemned them, and because they spoke for all of us as our first parents, they condemned all of us to this slavery to sin and death that comes from following the serpent. This is what St. Paul is talking about when he says, "Through one man sin entered the world, and through sin death, and thus death came to all men, inasmuch as all sinned." To break this slavery to sin, this slavery to death, this slavery to the devil, something drastic had to occur. Death had to be conquered. And it was by Jesus Christ on the cross. He took that upon himself, died, and rose again to show that sin and death have no power. And each of us has that same power over sin and death as Jesus Christ, in fact. Because each of us, when we were baptized, we joined him in his death and we joined him in his resurrection. If you listen to the words of the rite of baptism, we say that in there, that we join Jesus Christ in a death like his and then we join him in his resurrection. And so, by that action, we become children of God. By joining him in his death and resurrection, we conquer this power that sin and death holds over us, and we become free to choose God. That is the power of baptism, that we are now free to choose not to sin. We are now free to say no to temptation. We are now free to call God when we need him to fight these temptations, to fight the trials, to overcome the suffering in our lives. Because of our baptisms, we have been broken free of that slavery. And in the gospel today, Jesus shows us what we are really fighting through his temptations in the desert. He shows us what the devil is really trying to get us to do. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, it says afterwards he was hungry. Well, I would be too, and probably just after one day, let's be honest. But 40 days, if someone came up to me and offered me a loaf of bread after 40 days of fasting, I probably wouldn't see any issue there. I'm hungry. It's okay to have something. but Christ, who sees all things, sees who is offering this to him. He knows who is coming. He knows that it is the tempter, that it's the devil. And so he refuses it, because this is not something that comes from the Father who loves him. And so he overcomes that sin of Adam and Eve, where they followed their bellies instead of the Father. And he says, no. One does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. He shows us that the devil preys on our weakness, that after 40 days of fasting and becoming hungry, the devil gets you right at the moment that you're at your weakest. Isn't that true, though? When we're not suspecting it, when we're not looking, or perhaps when we're just tired, that's when we're most susceptible to those temptations. That's when we're most susceptible, and that's when we have to call on God to help us see things for what they are, so that we can avoid those temptations. That's always the first step. When we see something coming that is coming from the devil, we just turn away and go somewhere else. The problems of the flesh, especially the sins of pornography, all of those sins of lust, the easiest way to fight them is to avoid them in the first place. The second temptation of the devil: cast yourself off of this parapet of the temple, for God will command his angels to support you. And this temptation might seem odd, but it really shows us what the devil is trying to do in this and in the prior one. He's trying to convince Jesus to go against his Father, to do something of his own will and not of his Father's will. He's trying to get Jesus to act like some sort of magician, or to treat his Father like a giant vending machine in the sky. Because our faith in God, it's not just in what he does for us, but if we have true faith, it's also recognizing that when he doesn't act, that's something that we must praise too. We can't force him to do anything, because it's not in his will to do it. And so if Jesus were to throw himself off the temple and try to force his Father to save him with the angels, that's simply falling prey to another trap. A trap where we want power over God. We want him to do what we want him to do, despite whatever his plan might be. That's where this temptation hits. And then finally, in the third temptation, Satan's ambitions are laid bare. He demands worship. Worship which would re-enslave to him. Because Satan, he tempts Christ by showing him all the kingdoms and saying, you'll have all the power. Never mind that he already had all the power. But Satan assumes that Christ has the same desires as he does. Because Satan wants this power over the world. He wants to enslave people to him, to force people to do his will. And he assumes he can't get out of this myopic vision that is what everybody must want. And Christ's response here is simply, get away, Satan. Be gone. The Lord your God alone shall you worship and serve. And then the devil left him, and angels came and ministered to him. The Greek tells us that they used the same word as serve at table. And so when the angels came and ministered to Christ, he received all the things that the devil was tempting him with. Except now it was coming from his Father. He received that nourishment that he hungered for. He received that ministry of the angels. He received all these things from the Father who loved him. by staying strong through these temptations. When we're confronted by temptations, like I said, the first step is get away if you can. But if you can't flee the temptation, how do we fight it? We remain faithful to the most important part of ourself. The most important part of each one of us is our identity as children of a Father who loves us. By virtue of our baptisms, we became God's children, and that is the most important thing about every single person in this room, that we are God's children. And so we turn to Him in our times of need. We ask Him to help us. We ask Him to help us stay faithful, just as Christ's example, where He stayed true to the fact that He was the Word of God. And so He fought temptation with the Word of God. We fight temptation by being faithful to our Father. We fight Him by worshiping well the One who loves us. That's why all this matters. That's why us priests get so persnickety about the liturgy, right? That's a fun word, isn't it? Persnickety. But that's why we care so much. Because our worship of God informs every other part of our life. And if we don't worship God by laying our thoughts and words and sufferings and deeds on this altar along with the bread and wine at Mass, if we don't do that, and we don't do it as well as we can, then we're going to be in trouble. That's what worship is all about, giving ourselves to God. And if we worship well, we'll have faith in our Father. We'll be able to stay strong in those times of temptation because we'll know where we can turn. And if we have that faith in our Father, when those questions of the flesh come up, when those temptations to our bellies or whatever come up, we'll have gained this mastery over ourselves by knowing that we're truly nourished by our Father in heaven. All of these things we learn today. We have power over sin because we are children of God. And our choice is, do we choose to give in to sin and re-enslave ourselves to the devil? Or do we choose to be faithful to our Father, to fight temptation, and at the end of our days, to receive that reward of heaven, that reward which will nourish us and feed us and give us everything we've ever longed for our entire lives.